Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and they keep kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Have your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
We're here to have some fun. We got a That Ain't Right story coming up a little bit later. Some local good stories of the day. Touch on some entertainment news as well. Looking forward to all of that, but it's a Monday. You know how we kick things off in the 9 o'clock hour. Something good.
That's right. Welcome to The Kitchen's Open here on WFHR. Now, I've been saving this topic that I started back in January when we opened the year with... What is a kitchen?
Oh, I remember that segment. You talked about how the name for a kitchen evolved in the oldest kitchen from like a million years ago, but
mm-hmm.
You didn't let me participate with the segment.
Yeah, that's right, mm-hmm. James. And I bet you felt much like women do in the male-dominated restaurant mm-hmm. world now,
yeah.
Which is really kind of mind-boggling when we look at the history of women in the kitchen and traditionally who does most of the cooking.
Okay, you've piqued my interest for sure, but... Don't we need to mention our sponsor?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I would love to, but we don't have one yet.
Oh.
Don't tell the boss. But to our loyal listeners out there, we are looking for a sponsor for this mm-hmm. segment. We love being able to talk about your business during this segment and would be happy to tie in your products and promote your sales. Just give us a call at 715-424-424. 2600, and Pam will put you in touch with our head of sales, Ashley.
Now that we've got that business out of the way, tell us what this segment is all about.
Okay, so the premise of this topic was supposed to be gender roles in the kitchen, and I thought I would find some interesting developments throughout the history of kitchens and how gender roles have evolved, especially in recent years. But that wasn't what I found. In fact, it got kind of dark kind of quick. So... We're going to travel down this path together and see what we find.
Good, because while I am not what I would call a brilliant cook, I do enjoy being in the kitchen. I would think that gender roles have become somewhat more equal as our society has evolved throughout history. Speaking of history, why don't we start there?
Of course. That is your wheelhouse, James, so take it away.
Excellent. Now, traditionally and historically, the home kitchen was the woman's domain, dating as far back as 2 million years ago. Early nomadic societies survived by foraging and hunting. Women were often the foragers, and likely men did most of the hunting.
Yep. That's because plants, generally speaking, aren't mobile. Women are limited in their ability to travel far from their hearth or camp once they started bearing children and taking care of young ones. But hunter is a great motivator.
Very true. And it was far easier for men to go out on hunting expeditions and try to bring meat home. Women had small children to take care of and, by necessity, had to stay close to the home. But hunting wasn't easy. And the men... weren't always successful. Much of the early human diet consisted of what women and children could forage.
Now, as time progressed, human diets changed with the introduction of agriculture, but gender roles largely remained the same. Women tended to the household and children, but they also played an important role in developing agriculture. Their extensive knowledge of plants gave them an edge in this development.
Men helped work the land, hunted, and often went to war. Obviously, there was some crossover, but men and women depended on each other to survive when they had a family.
It would have been difficult for... or nearly impossible to do all the work alone. With agriculture came the ability to store food year-round. Permanent settlements were established, and that led to the growth of civilizations.
Now we'll delve a little bit into ancient Greece and Roman history. This dates around 900 BCE to 600 CE, where middle and lower class women cooked at home, while their rich counterparts directed slaves to carry out these domestic tasks.
It was around that time that men started forming a professional class of chefs that cooked for the ultra-rich and privileged. Now, at the same time, taverns and street vendors employed workers of both genders.
Yes. It's not clear who did what, but at that period of time in history, women were considered to be inferior to men and did the more menial tasks or much of the grunt work in the public kitchens.
During the Middle Ages in Europe, 500 to 1400 CE, men and women's roles in society were increasingly enforced by secular and religious laws. A patriarchal society was dominant and women were relatively powerless and stuck at home under the protection of their male relatives.
But women were expected to provide food for their households. Now, if they had status and were wealthy, that would involve directing servants to do the work. But otherwise, they were expected to take care of the necessities of the home.
Mm-hmm. Women in the quote-unquote public kitchen workplace toiled under the rules of their male counterparts, despite the fact that women ruled the kitchen at home. Hmm. It was true in urban areas. And rural areas, the balance was a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Outside of the major cities in Europe, women contributed to the family decision-making and income. They would sell the products made in their home kitchens and home farms. Looking back now, we would call them early food entrepreneurs in the public market. They would bring hard capital, or cash, into the home.
We've been focusing mostly on European history, but if you look at the history in North America, it's quite a bit different. When Europeans arrived in North America, they found a buffet.
Yes. Since around 1000 BC, native women had been cultivating the land. In the east part of the country, Algonquian women had meticulously planted fields. They used crop rotation to allow used fields to regenerate.
Because they were so in tune to plants and their life cycles, native women in many tribes used companion planting to grow new and better crops. The most commonly known, the Three Sisters, were corn, beans, and squash. The rule is corn is planted after the danger of frost. Pole beans are planted that when the corn reaches about 5 inches high, and squash is planted 1 week after that. The three together in that time frame will yield the best of all three.
Hmm. You know, there's a statue of the Three Sisters close to here at Lake Emily County Park. They just put it in last year. It's called the Sustainers. It's a copper sculpture depicting three figures and the three crops.
That's right, James. Stevens Point News reports that Emily Lake area history stretches back thousands of years. The lake is completely rimmed by village sites and burial mounds. There's even dance rings slightly west of the lake. And a side note, they just had an event last Monday to celebrate the Sustainers culture created by Oneida Nation member Mark Fisher.
That's wonderful and a great tribute to the area, the history of our area, and I believe to the continuation of farming in mm-hmm. Wisconsin.
It didn't evolve on its own. The first Europeans to arrive saw the abundance of the land and thought it had simply grown that way. But many tribes across Americas were dominantly, dominionally led by the women and the cultivated the land. And they cultivated the land.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. And in those tribes, everything passed down through the women's line.
Mm-hmm.
Europeans were shocked that women did the majority of the work and also that they owned a majority of the property. Everything except hunting and war equipment belonged to the women.
The view of Europeans was that women were the weaker sex and should be sheltered. The culture of American women in the 1700s was a definite shock to how they viewed the role of women in society.
For sure. I personally wonder if some of the reason why they viewed Native Americans as savages. Mm. Their society was completely different and devoid of what Europeans considered high society. But indigenous people had their royalty just the same. Women were revered in their culture, and their role was equal but different.
We could go down a whole rabbit hole with this topic, mm-hmm. and let's not get James started over there. So instead, let's jump ahead to the Industrial Revolution for a moment. The shift from living in rural areas to living and working in factories and cities drastically changed how society functioned.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Women's roles in the household changed, not only because goods were mass-produced and no longer needed to be made at home, but because it was necessary for women to work outside of the house in order to support their families.
And something that you did, you and I talk about often, Mel, in the fact that women were paid much less than men. During that mm-hmm. time, it was usually half of what men were paid for doing the same work.
And on top of that, conditions for workers during the Industrial Revolution were terrible for practically everyone. Workers mm-hmm. were subjected to horrible conditions in factories and mines. But we digress from the topic at hand. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned, the drastic shift of where people worked also changed where people ate during the day.
Eating establishments in cities were dominated by male customers, and a lot of them, women were not allowed to allowed without a male escort. The history of separate dining rooms for men and women and how they evolved to what we know today is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. We could probably do a whole segment on that, too. Just that. Mm-hmm. It's all intertwined with the labor movement, women's fight for the right to vote, and the temperance movement. These were all happening around the same time.
Yes, and it is a complex and interesting period of time. But that focuses mainly on customers and the front of the house. Let's talk about what was going on in the restaurant kitchens.
Oftentimes, a husband and wife would partner in operating dining rooms in taverns and inns. If the husband died or went off to war, the wife would carry on.
Mm-hmm. The wives would supervise male waiters who served almost exclusively male customers. Not only was it considered improper for a woman to eat at these public eating places, it wasn't considered proper at the time to have a woman waiting on male customers and especially serving alcoholic mm-hmm. drinks.
This viewpoint, however, shifted slowly during the 19th century, and the role of women in restaurants changed over time. Soon, women were employed at lunch counters and hired as servers. They also worked in restaurant kitchens, but most often as dishwashers.
By the 20th century, and especially during World War I, the number of women servers exceeded men. They also worked as kitchen assistants, cashiers, and cooks.
During the early 20th century, women often trained in food management, cooking, and nutrition. In an article by Jan Whitaker titled From Patrons to Chefs, A History of Women in Restaurants, according to a 1910 federal census, there was one female restaurant keeper for every five males.
So, men were still dominating the industry, but women were making a place for themselves. Women owned, managed, and entirely staffed many of the first cafeterias, and also ran tea rooms that catered to women.
Now, it wasn't that men weren't allowed in these spaces, they just didn't go to them. Men considered them to be too dainty, clean, and they didn't like the food. Oftentimes, women's tea rooms served as a combination of high end and sweet foods like oysters and cake.
Jan Whitaker wrote an interesting book about women's tea rooms of the early 20th century called Tea at the Blue Lantern Inn. The article we're referencing has a ton of great information, and I highly recommend it if you're interested in reading more.
But jumping ahead to today's restaurant industry and women's role, sadly, it hasn't changed much in some ways. Sure, mm-hmm. women have no problem getting a job in today's restaurants. In fact, women represent half the workforce in the restaurants and food service industry.
Mm-hmm. But because we're running out of time, we'll have to continue this segment in another edition of The Kitchens Open. I was astonished by the statistics I found on what has happened in the restaurant industry mm-hmm. and looking at the wage gaps. So I look forward to delving more into this topic.
Yeah.
Now, if you, our listeners out there, have a story about working in the restaurant industry as a woman, we would love to hear from you.
Yes.
Email me at melissa.k@civicmedia.us or call Pam to get in touch with me by phone, 715-424-1300.
Thank you for joining us today. And as we mentioned earlier, we are still looking for a sponsor, but we may have something in the works.
Mm-hmm. But give Pam a call if you're interested in becoming a future sponsor of this segment. 715-424-1300. Until next time, we'll sign off. And with that, let's close the kitchen.
Mm. Great segment, you guys. Man, I love that one. That was a lot of fun. That was a little history lesson along with some talking food. That was fun. Mm-hmm. Well done. Take a break. We'll come back and we're going to have some fun with some entertainment news and plenty more coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good Monday out there. Thanks for joining us. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. I'm going to get into a little bit of entertainment news right now. And here's a new one. With the increase in artificial intelligence, the Grammys came out with a new rule that only humans are eligible for awards. Good thing they did this, too, because everybody's got a Grammy. Everybody can get a Grammy. So I would say that, yeah, computers could probably get one, too, I would imagine. Yeah,
It's sad that they have to make the rule, but...
Yeah. In all seriousness, we joke about that with the Grammys. It's like a joke that's been around since we were kids, because there's so many categories.
Yeah.
You know, and you have former presidents that have this, and, you know, basketball players that have Grammys, and, you know, so the joke is kind of understood, but in all seriousness, like, it is really starting to, like, it's getting insane with these categories, like how many they have. So maybe they did have to do this, or should they just have a category for computer-generated music or something? I don't know. We'll see where this is going. The Academy says, quote, "A work that contains no human authorship is not eligible in any category." To be clear, a song can still have some AI. The human creator just has to have a meaningful contribution to the music or lyrics.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure if they're going to be running into a lot of this or not. But then again, we didn't see this being an issue, period.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not even 5-10 years ago.
Right. And there's a lot of talk about the fact that now is the time we need to be putting rules in place regarding AI.
Yes.
Because they're just going so fast with the technology. We don't fully understand it. And that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you said that, Melissa. I think we are so caught up in this moment right now. Every day we're caught up in the moment. We're caught up in this time and all that. We don't give a chance to give some grace at times. We've been making up and trying to catch up to the internet for a while when it comes to our laws and that. There are certain things that we're finally starting to realize, hey, we need to get ahead of. And we're actually doing it.
Right.
That is pretty cool. I think that's noteworthy. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you mentioned that. I want to mention something else that I think is very, very noteworthy. And I'm a little aggravated that it has not come up a little bit more. I'm sorry to jump on my soapbox here. But Weird Al Yankovic noticed that the abbreviation AI can look a lot like Al. If there are no periods. And I don't want Weird Al Yankovic not getting his Grammys.
Right.
All right. Weird Al doesn't want this either. He said, he came out and said, quote, "Oh, I keep telling them I'm human."
He would do that.
He would.
This is very well played, Mr. Yankovic. Uh-huh. Yes, well played. I thought this was pretty interesting, too. So if you're a grandparent, you already know this. But for everyone else, Tom Hanks is sharing the simple secret to grandparent success.
Okay.
So I want to give our audience a moment. Go ahead and grab yourself a piece of paper and pencil or whatever you use to write things down so you can get Mr. Hanks' information here. Quote, "You have to have macaroni and cheese."
Unless it's my oldest.
just perfectly. That may seem basic, and it is. Just figure out if they preferred the dry mac and cheese mix or the gooey stuff. But Tom goes on this, and it's like, it's not just mac and cheese. It's got to be right with the kind they want. It's got to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tom also joked that if you love, quote, "those little brats," then they're as good as gold. But Tom's wife Rita Wilson says there are some more advice levels. For that, she says you got to get on the trampoline with them. You got to get in the pool with them. You got to go on the tennis courts. You got to go to all the sports. You just got to hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is
spend time doing what they like doing.
I would say, you know, there's nothing greater in the world than being a parent, for me, and just speaking for myself, but I know most parents out there would agree. Second to that is being the cool uncle or godfather.
Right.
Both of those are roles that I was born to play, baby. Like, I'm very good at those. I love doing those things. I'm not a grandparent yet, knocking on wood, but I would think that being a grandparent has got to be kind of similar to those. Just talking to grandparents a little bit, it's a little similar to those.
See, I think if you ask grandparents, it's even better than being a parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because as soon as the grandkids started to come, I said to my dad, I said, okay, now I realize I have gone down in rank
with you guys.
As soon as the babies came, that was it. And it's so neat to see grandparents on the floor with infants and with toddlers and playing their games at their level. There's just a bonding that happens.
I swear, I don't know if I've ever seen my dad more alive than when he's playing with his grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not saying that he wasn't like that with us and his kids or anything. Just, you're right, Beth. I think too, that, you know, as parents, you're rushing through your head with every decision you make. Is this the right decision? Am I scarring my kid? Am I doing the right thing? Over and over. As a grandparent, a lot of that stuff, it's a little like your looks. Like, the older you get, the less you worry, man. And you're just rolling with it. Like, this is it. This is what I got to work with. Hey, take it, society, because I did. Like, you get a little bit more, like, a little more relaxed, a little more comfortable in the, quote, position, if you will.
As a grandparent,
yeah, you also...
Yeah, go ahead.
You also get to spoil them and then send them home.
Yeah. Exactly. I was just going to say that. I was exact quote from a grandparent in my congregation yesterday, because there was a baby in the congregation, and they're like, yep, the best thing about grandparenting is you get to spend all that time, and you get to spoil them rotten, and then you get to hand them back. You don't have to worry about changing the dirty diapers or cleaning up the throw up. You just give them right back over.
Here, take this. Take this. Here.
Done now.
Yep. Here you go.
Got my time in.
And going to be a little bit more than when you gave it to me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You might want to check the trunk there. Yeah. Might want to check the trunk.
I got all the giggles. You get the tantrums.
Because I've fed them full of sugar before I sent them back.
Oh, they're just like treating them like a horse. You're just giving them like sugar cubes. You just give them... Ryan Reynolds already does so much for a lot of different causes and a lot of these different organizations that he's a part of. I appreciate artists like him that do so much, and there is you don't even know about half of it. Because he doesn't have to be on social media for 5 seconds telling you that he's doing these things. Mm-hmm. Him and his wife, Blake Lively, just do a lot of this stuff. They show up at children. He, especially in his native Canada, it is not a big deal for Deadpool to show up at a kid's cancer ward.
Like,
he just does it all the time. For those that don't know, the character Deadpool had cancer, and it's part of the reason why he went into all the things that he did. So Ryan really, when he got the role, really, and he loves the role, really took it on himself to take this character and make it a superhero for cancer patients, you know, and really lean into that.
That's
and
great.
Kids just blows their minds and doing these things. So it's not too surprising to me, and I think a lot of people that pay attention to his career, that he's doing something like this. But for everybody else, they've been blown away that Ryan Reynolds is doing something like this. What is he up to? Well, Ryan has a new show called Bedtime Stories with Ryan. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Ryan Reynolds reads, quote, classic bedtime stories.
Wow.
The show will be on the streaming service Fubo and Ryan's new Maxim Effort channel. It premieres last Tuesday. Ryan says, quote, we're so happy to create a program with the express goal of putting people to sleep.
That's great.
This show has actually been a dream of mine for a while. Storytime is a nighttime staple in our home and is daily reminder of the power of storytelling. Mm-hmm. I'm only going to play a sample of this, though, because I don't want anybody falling asleep out there. But I do want to play a little of this.
You know the best part about stories? You remember them. They stay with you. And I want to tell you a bedtime story.
Well, and it's just a full show of him sitting there in pajamas, by the way, reading a bedtime story to a couple of stuffed animals and stuff.
Rest your tired bones. And remember, whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I don't know, pineapples, porcupines. What? Hey, whoa. Got a morning show to do, people. Come on. Wake up. Everybody, wake up here. He is a very good narrating voice.
He really does.
I did not realize that. I didn't think it was that good of a narrating voice. He had that good of a narrating voice. That is nice. I hope that helps a lot of kids. I think that is just... So he's doing this when he could be doing paid work. I hope that's not lost on anybody out there, that this is one of the more sought after actors in the world, and he's choosing to take working time and do a project that he's literally paying money into to do to help kids, to help people like with sleep issues and everything. Pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
Not bad. We are going to take a break right here, get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Little Julian Lennon playing us into the show. Hope you're all having a great morning out there. Melissa and Beth with us, and we're going to get into a fun one here. Any waiters or waitresses out there got a story that they can top any of these? Someone on Reddit asked servers to name the weirdest requests they've gotten from a customer.
Okay.
I thought coming out of the kitchen's open, some entertainment news, this might be a good topic for us here.
Yeah.
This is going to be some interesting one. I mean, keep in mind, this is not they're not serving this plate to you. So
okay.
Go ahead
yep.
and try to have some fun with this one. A couple didn't want their empty plates bust yet. So the guy, because the guy wanted to lick them clean first, and then he did in front of the waitress.
Okay, that's weird.
That
I
is
mean,
weird.
The food must have been that good.
Yeah.
A woman sent her grilled chicken salad back because it was cold, so they cooked more chicken, but she sent it back again because the salad itself was still cold. She wouldn't eat it until they microwaved the lettuce.
Oh, wow. Really?
I almost wouldn't believe that one. I think I would lose my job. I'd be like, no, no. Like, you're lying to me. No. You're just, no, no. Okay, I'm fired. Okay. A guy said he couldn't have anything that had been ground up. He just didn't like food that had been, quote, made small at one point.
All right.
So no meatloaf.
He wants the whole cow. Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of people giving these orders, these directions, like they're very common. Like like you ask for something with no onions on it. Like you just basically, yeah, if I could get something with, that's never been ground up, that was never small before, thank you. Mm-hmm. Wait, what did you just say?
And you get served a whole head of cabbage.
Yeah. Here's it, like I'm just going to bring a cow out, a literal cow. I'm just going to
it's
bring
like that
to
opening
you.
Scene in the Flintstones, that big slab yes. of thing. That, yeah.
A server at Chili's had two Chili's super fans ask her to do their gender reveal.
Okay. Ooh.
That's interesting.
What did they use?
Super fans.
Yeah. I don't know. We don't have the rest of the story on that one, but yeah. A woman wanted bone-in wings, but asked if the chef could remove all the bones for her.
Oh, my goodness.
I want boneless bone-in wings.
Well, to be fair, boneless wings aren't actually wings. I mean, they're just chicken meat. They're not the wing meat, per se. I mean, there might be some of that in there, but they're like glorified chicken nuggets.
Right.
So she's got a point, but it that would be a little bit of an ask to can you remove the bones first?
A guy at a Japanese restaurant asked for low sodium soy sauce, then poured it in his Pepsi.
Interesting combo.
Did he then marinate meat in that?
Yeah.
Because that would be pretty good.
A guy ordered a salad and said no purple in it. He didn't say food, just no purple in his salad.
That would be the red cabbage.
I sound like I'm not one of the most picky eaters of all time. I should add into this list a little bit. Now, for them, they say a guy ordered a BLT with no bacon or tomato, just a lettuce sandwich.
Okay.
I can't make fun of this too much because one of my favorite things to get from my Nana growing up was a BLT with no tomato. Just a BL. She'd make fun of me all the time for this. Like, how do you get something with three ingredients and you want just two? That's just the two ingredients, Jimmy.
Well, at least you didn't ask for a BS sandwich.
Yeah. I cannot imagine how my Nana would have handled that. Very sarcastically, I'll tell you.
More than likely.
And finally, someone who worked at a seafood place said that they waited on Flavor Flav, the rapper.
Ooh.
And all he ordered was a big plate of cucumbers. Like, okay. just a plate of cucumbers. Okay. Yeah. I don't. First off, I commend the confusing order. Like, I wonder if celebrities every once in a while like just want to be weird just for the sake of being weird.
Yeah, because they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And what do you use as a condiment?
Right.
Like, if you order just a plate of cucumbers, like, you're not putting.
Oh, I would think ranch dressing.
Yes.
Is it ranch dressing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Because it ain't ketchup. You're not putting them in ketchup.
No.
So, okay.
No. Or salt.
Cucumbers. Or hummus.
Yeah. Ooh, hummus would be a good choice, too.
Mm-hmm. Have either of you ever worked as waiters or waitresses, I should say?
Yes.
Okay. Only if you count church events.
Okay. Have you ever had any weird requests like this, or have you yourselves ever made any weird requests?
Well, having been a server in a supper club, I waitressed at the Teepee Supper Club in Toma for a while. I have an appreciation for everything that they go through, and I go out of my way to not make weird requests.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I have so many eating, you know, like things I can't eat,
yeah.
I usually try to order the thing off the menu that I have to make the least amount of changes to. So that guy that ordered the lettuce sandwich, that is something that I would do, because
yeah.
I'd find something on the menu. Okay, this, I only have to make one change to this to make it something I can eat.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say, you know, a BLT with no bacon and no tomato, or, you know, it's minimal changes to an item already on the menu. Not, can you build me a new menu item that completely from scratch here? I see you have this, this, and this. Can you just, you know, combine those three recipes, but leave out all these things?
Yeah.
You don't want to Meg Ryan it?
No. Mm-mm.
How about you, Beth?
Well, it depends on what you consider as weird. Because what everybody else is considering weird, those people might think is normal. This is just how I do things.
Right.
So what would be considered weird? And, you know, I don't think I do that very often. I try not to, if at all possible. Because, you know, if I'm at home, then I can make it the way that I want to make it. But if I'm going out, then you try to do it the way. Often the chef does it that way for a reason. So that the meal comes out a certain way. And so to try to change that is changing what the chef orders. But we also live in a society where Burger King has told us for how many generations, have it your way. So which is it? Do we get to have it our way, or do we not get to have it our way?
I brought up earlier in the show about how usually I get a bacon double cheeseburger wherever I go. And I'm trying to be better about that. I had my fish fry last Friday, all that. But I was at arguably the most fancy restaurant I've ever been to in Chicago. This is one of those Thai-only places, upstanding. Nobody's there because they just walked in. Like, everything's a reservation kind of place. And I was there with my my ex and her mom and her date, and it was a fancy introduction and all this stuff. And I was going to get steak, but they didn't have it. They didn't have any steak there yet or anything. We got there late in the day and they ran out of steak, I guess. I don't know. At any rate, I didn't order the only other thing on the menu that I would eat was a bacon double cheeseburger or a bacon cheeseburger. The chef actually came out and said nobody had ever ordered the burger there before. At least the time in the time that he had been working there, nobody had ever ordered the burger, and he just wanted to meet the person. He was expecting a teenager. I was 28. I was 28 when this happened. So, yeah, I got some growing to do. I got a little bit of learning to do on that one. We're going to take a break as I pull away at red-faced, and we'll come back with more fun on the morning show. But, Beth, thanks a lot for joining us. Appreciate the time.
Good to be here.
And we'll talk again soon.
Yes.
We'll be back with more fun coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Around your world, pretty baby, is it everything you hoped it'd be? The wrong guy, the wrong situation, the right time to roll.
Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Monday out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. Going to take it right to the top of the hour. Want to remind you that we have Playmakers on from 3 to 4 today. Join us this afternoon, live and direct. We're here to take your sports thoughts and feelings. Call up and join the conversation, 424-2600. Looking forward to hanging out with you a little bit later. Kiwanis Club's Bob Atkinson going to join us, talk about the Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis golf outing coming up. Seth is going to sit in with us. We'll talk some rap. After actors, and plenty more coming up for you in Playmakers from 3 to 4 today. Shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. They're sponsors of our show.
Mm-hmm.
So, Melissa, I don't know if this is a then a right story, a good story or not, but let's go ahead and figure it out. If you had a secret you needed to tell someone, who would you confide in other than your dog? My fur brother Sam has all my secrets, knows where all the bodies are buried, all the skeletons in the closet and everything. In a new poll, 32% of people say that their spouse or partner knows the largest number of their secrets. 18% say a friend knows the most secrets. And 11% of people claim they don't have any secrets. When broken down by gender, men are more likely to confide in a partner or a parent, while women are more likely to share secrets with a friend or a sibling. Women are also slightly more likely to confide in the child.
Ooh.
The breakdown was similar when asked who you are most likely to, quote, talk to first when you have a personal problem. And when asked who knows you best, 41% of people said partner, which was the most popular answer. But again, men are more likely to say that. 11% of women said it's a child. Only 5% of men said that. Quite an interesting set of data there.
Yeah. And as far as like what kinds of secrets we're talking about, I mean, I guess people have all sorts of secrets. But I wonder how many women have a very close relationship with their children, and especially if they don't have a good relationship with their partner or they don't have a partner, I guess I could see that being a reason to confide in your child. And child can be anything from, you know, 18 to or grown adult children. They're still your child, even if you're, you know, in your 50s and 60s.
I confide in my kids all the time. But they're also older. They're, you know, and I think that's where we're, that may be where you're right, where they're leaning into that. I also think when you're a single parent and you don't have a lot of interactions with adults, you do tend to talk to your kids a bit more. You do tend to lean into that a little bit more. I think that that's part of not only growing up for you as an adult who is still growing, but also for the kids. Like, I didn't grow up in a single-parent house, but there was plenty of times where my dad was not there, and my mom was pretty much left to run things. She confided and leaned on me. I don't know what we would have done without each other, how we would have gotten through that. The older sibling, the older siblings oftentimes have to carry more weight, and part of that isn't just chores, but listening to your older listening to your parent, being a sounding board for your parents sometimes. I'm not saying whether this is right or wrong. I'm just saying this is a society we live in. This is how it is.
But that's a relationship that you develop with your parent, and everyone is unique and different. But yeah, I could see the confiding of secrets. Spouse or partner seems like it should be the number one or the highest.
And I think it's also, you know, understanding to your audience. You know, if you're, you know, depending on the age of the child, putting too much on their plate can always be a fear, I imagine. And I know it was for my mom, and I'm sure, and I know it was for me too. And I imagine for almost every single parent out there. But my issue with this article and the reason it's a that ain't right story to me, Melissa, I want to go back to 11% of people claim they don't have any secrets. that number is way too high. Too high.
Or they just share way too much.
Yes. These are people who need more secrets. These are people.
Yeah. Yeah, you shouldn't have put that on Facebook. Nobody else wanted to know that or needed to know that.
There's a reason why too much information has become a common phrase.
Yeah, TMI.
That's a good point. It also speaks to the need of childcare and the drastic need of this. And something that I encourage people to listen to the interview with Senator Tess and I had last week. I wouldn't say I pressed him on this because he had no problem talking about it. But obviously, last Friday, there was the information about, in this state, in Wisconsin at least, what's happening with child care. And there it felt like last Friday we took a step back. And that's the last thing this state can afford to do. We are losing people left and right in this state. If you saw the article that came out over the weekend from a couple of different sources, Wisconsin is one of the states that's losing people.
Right, because we don't have adequate childcare, and people can't work and raise families here if they can't raise families here. They need to have access to childcare to be able to go into the workforce. And a lot of times that's what's stopping people from entering the workforce or re-entering the workforce after the pandemic. Them striking down that the continuation of the Child Care Counts program is going to hurt so many childcare facilities who are have shortages of workers and wait lists that are just incredibly long. But yeah, people should check out that interview that you did with Senator Tustin. All of our interviews are podcasted, and now they just updated the Android version of our app. So you should head over to the App Store. If you already downloaded it, it would have updated, but I found I had to put it back on my on my homepage.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't there anymore. And it's like, where'd it go? I still have it. It just automatically updated.
It's one of the best apps you can download. It's a great way to keep up on everything we got going on here. Check out the podcast. Just go to wherever you download your apps and check. Type in there Civic Media. Should pop up and download the app. Stream us 24/7, everybody. Just play.
And if you're... Yeah, and if you're streaming, the new updated app has a really easy one-button call-in. You can just click that button, and it will call right into our show.
Yeah, which is really nice, really nice.
Yeah, it's in direct contact.
Love getting your phone calls, everyone. Want to get to some local good stories of the day. And first off, we want to thank one of our great listeners, Shirley. She brought us some Andy's candies.
Ooh,
that was
nice.
Really nice. Thank you, Shirley. Thank you for those. I love those mint candies.
They're so good.
It's the perfect combination of mint and chocolate. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Speaking of food, the Summer Food Service Program provides nutritious meals to children during the summer when free and reduced price school meals are typically unavailable. Free meals will be made available to all children 18 years of age and under. For breakfasts, you can get these Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 8:30 up until July 20th at Lincoln High School at 1801 16th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. And from 8 to 8:30, now until July 28th, you can get these meals at Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School at 1921 27th Avenue South in Rapids. For lunches, these are available Monday through Friday and up until August 18th from 11:30 to 12:30 over at Mead Park near the Splash Pad at 14th Avenue South. And from 11:30 to 12:30 up until August 18th at the Winter Park Shelter outside of the Aquatic Center. Spread the word about these. You can. A big thank you to the Wisconsin Rapids Public School System and to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and everybody behind this. Thank you so much for the work that's being done on this one. If you do have questions, you can contact them at schoolnutrition@wrps.net. That's schoolnutrition@wrps.net. And a community blood drive going on tomorrow from 10 to 3 over at our former East Junior High School music room at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Appointments are encouraged. Walk-ins are welcome. If you'd like to make an appointment and you still have time, 866-566-5900, 866-566-5900. Encourage you to do that. And, of course, the United Way's Stuff the Desk registration is open. Get on over to uwswac.org to register today. You can also, Monday through Friday, between 8 and 5, call 211. It's another way to register. Make sure to do so before August 3rd. That is the cutoff time. Walk-ins will be accepted on that Saturday, August 19th, between 10 and 10:30. But supplies are not guaranteed, so you want to make sure to get the kids the supplies they need. Get registering today. UWSWAC.org. Rafter baseball on the radio dial tonight. Rafters at it, looking to get back in that win column after losing a close one last night to the Lakeshore Chinooks.
Had a bad ninth inning.
Yeah, it one of those games where everything was rolling good, and then that ninth inning came around, just a little rough outing there. We're looking to get back in the win column, but what better way to do it than against our heated rivals, the Wausau Woodchucks?
Playing at Wausau.
Yeah, our pregame will start at 5:50. You can catch all the action right here. Join Joey as he'll be taking good care of us, and Kevin, of course, on the TV. Nice job by those guys this season. And also join us for Playmakers, kind of our little bit of our tailgate into the Monday Rafters game.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. We'll be hanging out. Want to talk some Rafter baseball with everybody again from 3 to 4 today. Be sure to join us for that. And I just real quickly, just a big shout out again to this whole community, not only for the Cranberry Blossom Fest and the success of that over the weekend. Great job, everybody. But again, a special shout out to our friends in Port Edwards that were a part of the street dance last Friday and did such a nice job hosting Melissa and Ashley, and a great job by you guys, too.
Yeah, we had fun. It was a great time. It was good to see all the families out interacting with the volunteers with the fire department, and such great bands, too. Genesee Depot and Road Trip, they were great.
And just to wrap up on a world good story as we're coming out of Father's Day weekend, well, whatever you got your dad for Father's Day, it's going to be hard to beat. We got my dad a new mower, and we still can't beat this. The mayor of San Pablo in Northern California gave his dad part of his liver.
Whoa.
His name is Abel. His dad, Manuel, needed a transplant but was way down on the list. So Abel lost 50 pounds in 3 months and donated the right lobe of his liver to save his dad's life.
Wow. That's awesome.
That is pretty cool. And I don't believe that you have to get your dad anything ever for the rest of Father's Day history.
Dad, it's the gift that keeps giving.
It really does. It covers it, right? That should cover all your bases. That was awesome. That's such an awesome story. That is pretty cool.
Yeah, wow.
Great weekend of events, and thank you, everybody, for hosting and doing such a good job. We're going to be back at this tomorrow. We'll have some more fun. Melissa, have yourself a great day.
Yep, you too, James.
Have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.